In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, listen to the words of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I do not know man?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we continue to reflect upon the mystery of prayer, this week we dive into what are we supposed to do with the stuff of prayer. 2 weeks ago, in the first week of this series, we discovered what prayer is, that it is relationship at its foundation. Last week, we discovered what are we supposed to pray with. Talked about the interior movements, and I talked about the heart as the center of the human being and as the center of prayer, the place from which prayer comes. The heart being a word to describe the whole of man, not just the physical heart or not just the emotions. So that's where the stuff of prayer, the stuff to pray with, is. This week is about what do we do with that stuff. And the scripture that I picked to guide us through this is the Annunciation. That beautiful account of when the angel appeared to Mary to tell her that she would become the mother of the Son of God, the mother of Jesus. In that scene, we see an example of with this idea of what do we do with the stuff of prayer? And I'll get into that in a few moments. But as we recap, the question comes, if prayer is relationship, the stuff of prayer being the interior movements of the heart, the thoughts, feelings, and desires that we talked about last week, then what is it we're supposed to do with those things? And the important point to remember is something we've touched on every week, basically, is that prayer is always a response. It is never an initiative. What we do, how we pray, is always in response to the call of God, in response to what God is doing. It is always God who first acts. He is the one, as the Catechism and the Scriptures relate to us, constantly pursues us. And so, because of that, prayer ultimately is a response. And so, what does that mean for what we're supposed to do with the stuff that we talked about from last week, these interior movements of the heart? We have to go, if we're describing prayer as a relationship, if that is what it is, the best way for us to really understand it, at least in an analogous way, is to look at relationships in our own life, normal human relationships. I think the best thing for us to look at is the relationship of spouses. Think about if you're married or if you're not. Think about those married couples you know. What it means to have a good marital relationship. What is it, one of the foundations of a good relationship of marriage? Communication. That you're actually talking to each other. However, it goes deeper than just simply, hey, how was your day? Oh, it was fine. Or, hey, we got to do this tomorrow. Okay. It goes deeper. A good marital relationship is built on communication of the deepest sort. When heart speaks to heart, when one person is able to share what's in their heart, to share fully what's going on with them and not hide from anything with the other, and vice versa. This idea of mutual sharing is at the heart of any good marital relationship. And so, if that's the case, if good communication in marriage is being able to, at every level, being able to share without mistrust, without hiding behind something, in essence, like they were able to go deep and talk about the thoughts, feelings, and desires going on inside of us, those interior movements. Maybe not at the deepest, deepest level, those that are reserved for the Lord alone, but at a very deep level, then is this not also how we deal with God? That mutual relation, that sharing of heart to heart. Prayer, if prayer is a relationship, then at its core, prayer is relating to God. And while there's a lot of different models of prayer, the one that I think best speaks to at its core is the idea that prayer as relational prayer. You may have heard it relate, we're called as. And so what does that look like? What does relational prayer look like? There's a few things we'll get into, but before we do that, we have to ask a question. Why would I tell God all the stuff that's in my heart? Doesn't he already know what's going on? We know from the scriptures that Jesus tells us that your Father already knows before you even ask him. Before we even go to prayer, God knows what's in our heart. So the question can arise, well, what's the point of this idea like relationship? Or like actually telling all these things to the Lord. Doesn't he already know? Why would he need to know those things? Why do I need to say that? And it comes down to a very simple but very real truth. Think about how Jesus tells us to pray over and over and over again. Even though he said that your Father knows everything before you even ask. He says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. Even as he says that very phrase, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him, which is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. The next sentences is where he gives the Our Father. And what do we pray in the Our Father? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation. We're telling God our desires. What's the point of that if God already knows and he doesn't want us to tell him that? Why would he tell us to pray that way? If God did not want us to tell him what's in our heart. See, the reality is what we may miss if we get a little too pietistical and say, well, God doesn't need to know. He already knows everything. Is that we miss that God wants us to tell him, to share with him what is in our heart. Not necessarily because it will change his mind, it won't. And if we understand the scriptures and the tradition well, we know God doesn't change his mind. But when we tell him our desires, it changes ours. It changes our hearts. It shows that we trust him. If we are willing to give our heart to someone, it means we trust them. So if we are willing to give our hearts completely to God, to tell him everything that's in it, to be willing to ask him for whatever we desire, to express to him all of our thoughts and our feelings, that shows and increases our own trust, our own dependence, our own desire for God. In fact, as some authors, spiritual authors, will talk about it, when we are willing to ask, it stretches our heart so that we can receive more from God. In fact, St. Teresa of Avila has a beautiful quote talking about prayer, in which she says, "Contemplative prayer, in my opinion, is nothing else than a close sharing between friends." And I would take that even a step further. That real contemplative prayer, real prayer at the heart, is a close sharing between lovers. God wants to be something even deeper than friends with us. He wants to be so intimately close to us, closer than anyone else in our life. And that can only happen if we're willing to engage in that close sharing between us, between me and God. And so how do we do that? How do we engage or conceptualize this idea of relating, of being in relational prayer? There's an acronym, somewhat funny sounding acronym, that is used by many different people, but as I've said before in previous talks, a lot of the foundation for what I'm talking about for prayer comes from my studies with the Institute for Priestly Formation, IPF. And the acronym that is used is ARRR. The joke is that it's, how does a pirate best pray? He R's. And I know it's a bad joke. You can laugh. I give you permission. But what does this stand for? ARRR. This tool, and I want to emphasize, this is a tool. This is not reality in and of itself. What's important for all of this is that when we talk about prayer, much like when we talk about any relationship, these are tools and skills to help us to do the thing, but they do not encapsulate the fullness of the reality. It's a lot more fluid, but this is a very helpful way to conceptualize it, to think about it. ARR stands for four words: acknowledge, relate, receive, respond. And we'll break those down. So acknowledge first. Remember, as we've said over and over again, prayer is always a response to the initiative of God. God calls us to prayer. God does the thing first, and then we come from a posture of acknowledgement. The best way, I think, to conceptualize this or to see it in action is actually to look at what we just read, what the scripture we prayed with before beginning this talk, the Annunciation. Think about that scene and think about these ways in which Mary and the angel go back and forth. So the angel appears to Mary, and then he says, "Hail, full of grace," and then she responds accordingly. The scripture says, "She was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be." In the way the scripture works, you might as well consider the mind also a synonym for the heart. Not always the same thing, but in this case, you could kind of consider them the same thing. She considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be, acknowledging. The angel speaks and she acknowledges something going on in her heart. That there is a troubling, that there is a sense of kind of being taken aback at what that greeting was, because that greeting was powerful. Hail, full of grace. There's something behind that statement. And she's acknowledging that. And so that's the first step, is acknowledging that God has done something and that has affected, had an effect in our heart. The word affect literally comes from the same word as affective. Affective with an A. Think about A, not E. Sorry, I'm getting a kind of grammary spellingly, but like, then matters. Affective, like affect or emotion. It has an affect on the heart. And then what happens? The angel continues his pronouncement, and then Mary, with all this in her heart, relates back to the angel. And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" And so these two steps, acknowledging what's going on interiorly when God calls us, when we go to prayer. And this isn't always like God says something and then we acknowledge something that happens, but like maybe something has happened outside of prayer, a situation or a moment or a conversation or whatever, or just a noticing of some emotion or thought going on in my heart that in some way is a response to what God is doing in my life. And we acknowledge that and then relate back to the Lord. Lord, this is what's happening. This is the thought, this is the feeling, this is the desire on that deepest level. So that's the first two steps. Acknowledge, relate. Those are mostly on our part. As a response, but on our part. Important thing to note is that prayer, like, I'm going to kind of say that each step of this is important, but it really is. Like, the importance of relating. That if we acknowledge something, we can't just let it sit there. Kind of like what I was talking about, like, yes, God knows what's in our heart, but he wants us to tell him what's going on. Because that allows us to let him in, allows us to trust him. In fact, the Catechism states, if our heart is far from God, the words of prayer are in vain. Meaning, like, if we're not willing to give God what's in our heart, to give God our heart, prayer has no purpose. You might as well just talk to a wall. If we're not actually willing to go into the heart, take what's there and bring it before the Lord. Not giving it away, but bringing it with us to him. We have to relate what's going on. We can't just acknowledge it. And then the next step is when we relate, we then receive. And this is where the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." After Mary's first response to the angel then says, "This is what I have to offer you in response to that." You see how this is kind of just simply like talking about dialogue. It's back and forth. It is crucially important. This is perhaps the most important step, and the one where, if we're honest with ourselves, most of the time we miss, or most of the time we're not willing to sit in, is receiving from the Lord. Prayer is not about what we have to give. We do need to have some part in it, but it is ultimately not about what we give, but what we receive. This is probably the hardest part for us as human beings to remember. Because, especially in our modern day, like, we want to like be actiony, talk, like constantly going. But in order to really grow as people of prayer, we have to be willing to sit, wait, listen for God, and receive from him. After we relate something to him that's going on in our heart, we have to then be willing to sit back and listen for God and pay attention to what he wants to give us in response. Perhaps a word, perhaps a feeling, perhaps an image, perhaps nothing. And we'll get to that in a moment. Catechism states, contemplative prayer is hearing the word of God. Far from being passive, such attentiveness is the obedience of faith. The unconditional acceptance of a servant and the loving commitment of a child, it participates in the yes of the Son become servant and the fiat of God's lowly handmaid. The fiat we know is Mary's yes. Receiving is not passive. Think about being a student again. You may think that if you're just sitting there, you're being passive. If a student's being passive, they're probably not actually paying attention to what's going on. The word paying attention, attentiveness. Attentiveness requires effort. It is active. It means I am focusing my mind, my heart on what's in front of me, on what I have to receive. So receiving in prayer from God is not just a, okay, here's what I have to do, God, now let me have it. And we just sit back and kind of like wander around. It's an active attuning our mind and our heart to God, whether it be through physically looking at something that helps us to be mindful of God's presence, or whether it's just sitting in silence and just closing our eyes and focusing on the Lord in our mind, in our heart. It's about being attentive to God, which is not passive. It is active. It takes effort. Don't let everyone tell you that receiving something doesn't take effort. In prayer, especially, being receptive takes some work on our part. And finally, the last step is respond. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Ultimately, what all this, I hope you kind of see the idea, it's just a fancy acronym to basically say, hey, have a conversation with God. Like, actually talk to him like he's a person who can respond. I think that's an important point. I didn't mention it at the outset, but it's important to remember, like, when we talk about prayer and we talk about talking to God, it's not as some idea out there, as our Father, a person who can respond and will if we are listening and receiving. That's why it's a dialogue. It's important that, even though, like I said at the outset of this acronym, it is just a tool that describes how we engage with God in prayer as a relationship, as a conversation, as a mutual sharing of hearts. And so engage in the dialogue. Like, basically the response is kind of like just illustrating the back and forth that is going to be happening. And that's why it's important not to see this as, well, I have to like sit here, figure out what's going on in my heart, acknowledge it, tell God, sit, receive, and then talk back. Like, no. Like, it's not that stiff. It's a relationship. It's a conversation. Just like you would have any conversation with anything, there's give and take. The important part is that it be a conversation had at the heart. What are the thoughts, feelings, and desires, the interior movements at the deepest level of my heart that I want to relate to God, and then listen for his response? One last point to leave off on this as we conclude, or 2 points, 3 points. The response also deals with how does the prayer then get taken outside of the prayer time. Prayer should, if we're continuing to grow, should always be something that is not just limited just to our actual times of prayers. However, we do need to designate time for prayer, for this kind of relational sharing of hearts with God. However, the real fruit of prayer, as we'll continue to unpack, is how does it affect what I do in my daily life? How does it affect me? How does it help me to grow in holiness? Because if we're really engaging in prayer and growing within our relationship with the Lord, we should be growing in virtue and holiness. As with the scriptures say often, especially in the letter of St. James, be doers of the word, not just hearers. So if we are relating with God in prayer and receiving and responding, it should be a response also of something out there. So that's the first point to leave with. The second is just to kind of lead into what will be coming next. How do we know what to pray, what specifically to pray with? So like, we know what we're supposed to do with it. We know the stuff, the interior movements in our heart. But we also have to discern, okay, which ones do I take to prayer? Or what is going on in prayer? How do I know when what I'm sharing is from me or from the Lord or from a third actor in prayer? What we'll get into is, how do you discern what's going on in prayer and what is from the Lord and what is not? So that'll be upcoming. But lastly, as a point to leave off on, is to wrestle with the question of what happens when I do it. I'm trying to engage in the conversation. I'm acknowledging what's in my heart. I'm relating that to the Lord, anticipating and waiting and desiring his response, and there's nothing. There's silence. It's important to realize that sometimes God doesn't always respond with words. Think about what the scriptures tell us about how the Lord spoke in the still, whispering sound. It's meant to symbolize like that coming in relative silence. And how oftentimes the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, he doesn't speak words. This greatest expression of his love did not come in words. It came on the cross. God does not always speak in actual words. He can and he will, but not always. And in fact, Pope Benedict once said to a meeting of clergy in, I believe, the Diocese of Rome around 2006, he said, "There is no need to be discouraged on account of the fact that prayer requires effort, or because of the impression that Jesus remains silent. He is indeed silent, but he is at work." Don't assume that because you hear nothing that God is not listening or that God is not doing something. God is always at work. And just because we can't hear it doesn't always mean that we can't sense it or see it or feel it. Or even if we can't do any of those things, that it's not happening. But if we engage in the art of relating, of trying to engage in that back and forth, then perhaps we'll open ourselves up because we are opening our hearts to trust him, to trust that he does speak, that he is with us, that he is a person capable of loving us, that he will, in his time, he will answer us. He will reveal to us himself, however it is he chooses to do that.